shorts and bag.
That's a nasty looking finger, lady.
You got the bait?
What? No.
Hey, I got your fertilizer.
We made you.
Welcome back, interweb friends. This is Stop the Movie I Want to Get Out. Hollywood makes bad movies. We make fun of them. I'm Alex Dunbar. Thank you for joining us this week. This is a fantastically crazy movie. As you've probably seen from the episode description, it is the 2002 Jennifer Lopez movie, Enough. This is a rarity. For a show where we don't normally take... We're not serious very often. I think we're going to start on a slightly serious note. Maybe we're not funny that often. I don't know. Maybe we're not on either end.
People are like, this is a comedy?
Yeah.
A comedic podcast?
This movie does... is about a woman who's in a domestic violence situation. I think we all wanted to clarify before we started the episode that there is nothing funny about that. And in fact, we didn't do this movie for years because we thought that's essentially what the movie was about. It's not, spoiler. It is kind of what it's about, but it gets a lot weirder from there. So part of why I think we're actually going to make fun of this movie is that it minimizes and treats domestic violence so ridiculously and almost offensively.
Yeah, if you're watching this movie as someone who's like a victim of domestic violence...
Oh, the message is like, horrible.
Yeah, it's horrible and it's kind of...
The message to victims of domestic violence is that there is no help available to you.
Don't go to the cops.
Don't go to the police. I mean, like, it's terrible. Like, there are
becoming an abuser yourself is also okay.
Right, your only option is premeditated murder. It totally minimizes... so much help and support that is out there for victims of an incredibly real and prevalent problem in our society. And so I think we don't normally do disclaimers, but I did want to say that I think all of us wanted to kind of come out and say that we are not mocking the idea of domestic violence. In fact, part of why we're making fun of this movie is how terribly it handles that topic, and frustratingly. So with that out there, again, I'm Alex Dunbar, joined this week by Jack Estabrook.
Hello, how are you?
And Cody Wolf.
I just want to let the ladies in the audience know I'm really bad at sex. I'm so bad, you guys.
I cannot wait to get into that character.
I couldn't come up with one.
It's so crazy. All right, let's jump right into this movie because there's a lot going on in what I thought for a long time was going to be a simple movie and is...
Yeah.
Not simple at all.
No, it isn't.
We it's start so off. Elaborate. Oh, and we should say, if you haven't listened to our Boy Next Door episode, they are linked because they're both J-Lo movies, and this feels like an unofficial prequel to Boy
Wasn't
Next
she
Door.
Wasn't she doing some MMA or something at one point in Boy Next Door? Wasn't she like punching a punch bag in a gym or
something?
Well,
they both, I mean, spoiler, they both end with essentially the premeditated murder of a guy who has been controlling and violent to Jennifer Lopez. And they also both have a pattern of don't call the cops whatever you do.
That would be a bad idea.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're really anti-law enforcement. Or frankly, just anti-assistance movies, really.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of... And we may get into some of them, but I highly recommend them because I think these two movies are linked in many ways.
Well, they're very similar. They're kind of thrillers, I guess.
When you get an idea that, like, J-Lo... This is... Both of them are clearly the movie J-Lo wanted to make because you see the same trends in both of them and you realize, like, oh, this is when, like, J-Lo and her people were doing, like a script rewrite, that these are the ideas and concepts they wanted included. And some of them are super
nutty. This movie was not actually written for J-Lo, though. It was written for another actress.
I did say that.
Yes.
Yeah, that may
yes,
be...
it was.
Okay, we all know. Okay.
We all know who it is.
So we may do it as a So Wrong It's Right, but we'll do it just for the audience. And I found that very interesting and wondered...
I could have seen it, though.
Well, but I wonder when J-Lo got on if they retooled the script. She was a pretty big deal, and I think some of the... You see a little bit of it. All right, so to start off with...
We're in a diner.
We get waitress J-Lo.
Did we get a text card telling us what's going on yet?
There was one that said, like work day or something. I can't remember.
Yeah, there was...
That one might have said how they met. That was...
It's kind of like Frasier, you know, where Frasier does those little cards between the act breaks to tell you, you know, kind of... But they're done creatively on Frasier. In this movie, it's just like... It's like we're in the diner. She's at work. Then we're still in the diner. She meets a guy, and that's what these text cards say.
And they only do them in the beginning. It's almost like in the editing process, someone was like, hey, you guys, this is...
It's basically
dumb.
It's just during like the origin story of, of their marriage.
Yeah, it's first act only.
Yeah.
I will say I did appreciate one of, if it was not the final text card, which simply said, "Get out." Yeah. And I thought that was the message to me to stop watching the movie.
It was a text card for fans of our podcast. Her coworker is Juliette Lewis, who, if you've seen Boy Next Door,
I've always liked. Oh, is she?
Oh, yeah.
She's playing the Kristen Chenoweth part, basically.
She's playing that character, but she's good in this movie. I like her as an actress.
I've always liked Juliette Lewis.
I like Juliette Lewis.
She was like the one like thing in the movie that I was like, okay, this part I like.
She's trying to make an impression. Yeah, and in limited screen time, she's trying to make an impression.
Yeah,
but and she's I do agree with you. She's pretty good in this, and actually, weirdly, J-Lo was pretty good in this.
She's not
bad. She was at this point, J-Lo was still focusing on acting, and she's doing, like, by the time of Boy Next Door, like, J-Lo is kind of like going through the motions, like, but she's actually acting this character. It's not really her performance's fault that this movie, or really any of the performance's fault that this movie falls apart. It's the crazy movie that they're in.
It's the script, it's the story, it's the editing, it's the construction. We'll get to that. So we're in a diner. She's having a rough day at the diner.
Yeah.
It's establishing the friendship that they have, these two women. And
then Noah Wiley from ER comes in.
Mm-hmm.
And
with a rose. He's dressed really nice for a diner.
And if you see it for no other scene, see it for this crazy scene where Noah Wiley is not hitting on J-Lo and then hitting on J-Lo so hard.
Yeah.
Like, she's kind of like talking to him and he's being vague, and then J-Lo, as his waitress, starts to walk away. And in real time, Noah Wiley's like, "I write books. Do you read books? What are you reading now?"
I don't write books.
Well, then there's even a look on J-Lo's face like, okay. And then she drops, "I'm reading Finnegan's Wake by James Joyce." I'm like, whoa.
Is she reading an original edition? An
original edition. Yeah, I was hoping for that. And I'm like, okay. So I'm like, I'm trying to wrap my head around that. Almost immediately cut to J-Lo saying to Noah Wiley, "You don't write books, do you?" "No." And then she's like, "I'm not reading Finnegan's Wake." And I'm like, what was the point? Like, those are very specific things to be lying about and then immediately uncover.
This was the first thing in the movie that I really was upset about, is they do this bait and switch to the audience for no reason. Because the black title screen with the white text says how they met. She has this bizarre hot and cold, done in 30 seconds, Noah Wiley flirtation scene. And then immediately, right, we're introduced to another character.
Yeah, the Billy Campbell.
So Billy Campbell comes in, and he's like, "Oh, you know."
Oh, we should mention, by the way, like, Juliette Lewis is like, "Oh my God, you should totally go out with that guy. He's really good looking. He's into you. You should go out with him." So J-Lo's like, "All right, I think I'm going
to
go."
She's beginning to play with the idea.
Yeah, she's like, "All right, I think I'm going to go out with Noah Wiley." And then we're introduced to Billy Campbell, who's like, "No. You thought this guy was a not book author who was hitting on you? Think again. Congratulations. He's here on a dare. He was daring his buddy yesterday that he could get in your pants." And it's like, okay. And like, Noah Wiley's like, "What?" Yeah. He basically is like Rufus Sewell in God Major, but what? And but he doesn't really deny it, and he's sort of like...
Yeah, Billy Campbell just sort of like says, like, "Get out of here, never come back again."
Scares him off. I think this is to show, I guess, that he's supposed to be like the chivalrous guy who like steps up for her, and
she goes for him, because she's like, "Oh, he saved me from that."
Well, then,
and I figured out here what was going on in the scene.
Well, then, because then Billy Campbell's like, "Oh, I just thought it was wrong," and he sort of like walks out the door.
Yeah.
As slowly as a human being can move, almost like a human being like was saying, like, "Feel free to stop me at any time."
I'm like, just waiting.
My hand's on the doorknob. Yeah. I'm turning the doorknob.
Did you say something? Oh, yeah. No, I thought.
So now Juliette Lewis, who 30 seconds earlier was like, "Totally get with Noah Wiley," quickly is like, "Get with that guy, get with that guy."
Yeah.
And I'm like,
turn on a dime.
Okay. So I've been noting, I'm like, Juliette Lewis just wants her to be like with any dude. Like, I feel like if another dude came in.
Now, at this point in time, ER is still on television.
Yes.
And Noah Wiley is a known actor.
Well, that's what I was going
to
say.
So he has to be coming back later on.
You know he's going to come back because they're going to have Noah Wiley in this one scene role.
Which I would also
say. Which is why I figured out what they're doing.
And it undermines it quite a bit because you're kind of like.
Even at the time, it's not like this was a movie made like before he was a name and it's a small part. Like, he was established star.
And maybe let's jump ahead a little. We're going to skip around a little bit. It's later revealed that this is almost like, again, Inception. There's like layers of scheme here, right? That Noah Wiley's scheme was fake. Actually, it's Billy Campbell who's running a scam, and Noah Wiley is the plant, and he's doing this to get to J-Lo. But here's the whole fun of it. J-Lo was ready to go out with Noah Wiley. Yeah, like, none of this was necessary. None of it was necessary. Billy Campbell could have just come in with a rose and been like, hey, you want to go out?
Right.
And it probably would have been fine. She was all on board with Noah Wiley.
Yeah, I didn't think about that,
yeah.
I mean, really, just come in and ask her out.
You didn't need the second level of scheme. Cut to
the wedding day.
Wedding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cut right to the wedding.
So I'm like, okay. I'm like, all right, I guess we're,
and here's where we get what again turns out to be another wall banging plot, convenient, confusing plot point, is that she doesn't have a father. And she's walked down the aisle by like her boss or whatever.
By somebody. Yeah, I was a little unclear in this. I mean, they're really hammering you over the head with the idea of her real father isn't in her life.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I think, again, anyone who's seen a movie is like, okay, I don't even, we're not even into a thriller or a mystery aspect, but I guess her real dad will factor into this movie, because you won't, the movie won't shut up about the fact that she doesn't know like what's going on with her real dad. I don't even know who she is.
Also, she won't ever tell anyone her real name. Like, her husband, I don't think, ever knows her real name.
Goes by Slim.
Yeah. Because she says Noah Wiley in the first scene. She's like, no, I don't tell people my real name.
Right.
Which I don't know why. They never really say
is
that.
Is the movie it's not trying? Like,
she's hiding from her father or
something. Am I giving this movie too much credit by saying the movie is trying to make her every battered woman, and that's why she doesn't say her name, so any battered woman could put herself
in
that
position?
I think
you're giving it too much credit. I don't think that's what they're doing.
I thought they were doing was that even her husband doesn't know who she really is, or her real name, and wouldn't know who her father was, so that her father would be like the one person she could, but that doesn't, because he knows who he
is. And why would she have that layer of protection?
No, you're right, but wait, that doesn't work out either.
He's goons to the father later on, so I was like, well, I guess he knew who the father was.
Why would she also have that layer of protection when going in, she doesn't think he's an abuser, she finds out later, so why have the layer of protection
anyway?
Just because
she doesn't like her father. She doesn't want anyone to.
She's embarrassed by him.
He's dead to her.
Got it. Okay.
It's very weird.
That's why I thought they're going.
No. But, yeah, that makes sense.
And there's a confusing scene that where it appears J-Lo's friend from college, played by Dan Futterman.
Her ex-boyfriend.
Yeah. Who she apparently dumped because he wasn't good in bed. He seems to be extremely, like, self-conscious about this.
Well, that's kind of like, I think that's like his trick to like pick up women. That's like his move.
Okay. Because I wasn't picking that up.
So he and
I was like, dude, come on, really?
He and Juliette Lewis are dancing at the wedding, and Juliette Lewis, they go and have sex.
Yeah.
Keep that in mind, because that's going to make pretty much everything else in the last two-thirds of this movie very awkward for why that scene is handled that way. I mean, I think they did it for economy of characters. They needed to introduce this character.
Otherwise, you're not going
to
get him.
And they needed to get, like, I think they wanted to establish Juliette Lewis a little bit more, so they're trying to economize.
Easy.
But, like, by economizing these characters, you set up a crazy scenario of, like...
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
No.
I think you're just trying to introduce him somehow, because he's not coming back for like until the second act. So
right. Yeah. So now we see them, a weird scene. I think it's supposed to be an indication to us of Billy Campbell's character's controlling tendencies, where he like strong arms a guy into selling his house.
He just shows up at a house. He's like, hey, my wife really likes your house. She fell in love with it. We want to buy it. And he's like, yeah, it's not for sale. And he's like, yeah, it is. And he like hands him like
a
check
for this amount of money.
Yeah.
Everything's for sale. Clearly gives him like more money than the house is worth.
I was fascinated by the older actor playing the guy who owns the house, because I feel like he basically was taking direction from like four different people, because he's in some shots, he's like creeped out by Billy Campbell. In other shots, he's like, hey, that's a lot of money I'm making.
Right.
And you never get a gauge of like...
I feel like they shot it like four different ways. Like, we'll decide in the editing room. And they're like, I just don't
want it. And they used all four takes, because this guy's emotions, like, it's like a 30-second scene and he's on an emotional roller coaster road during it.
But
Watch him. If you watch the scene, never clear.
Because when he sees the number, he's like, oh, this is great. And then, the next shot of him, he's like, well, what's going on?
I don't know about this.
Because Billy Campbell's like... He's like, because he says to him, he's like, oh, you're crazy. And he's like, yeah, I am crazy. And that's why you should sell me your house, because otherwise I'm going to make your life miserable until you sell me the house and all this stuff. It was like...
It was really weird.
J-Lo would be like, this is...
Yeah, well, this is the only hint, and one of many problems I have with this movie is that the movie doesn't actually lay groundwork for Billy Campbell as an abuser.
Yeah, he just kind of switches.
Yeah,
you kind of get a little hint of it there, but he just...
That's the only one. Yeah. And I think a more interesting movie would have been showing the very subtle manipulation.
Yeah, right.
The like controlling kind of things, which you don't get in this. And it's really unfortunate because we then see them have a baby. Then the movie jumps forward. It looks like their kid is like three.
I would say probably... Three or four
years old.
Mm-hmm. Well, she's in school later on, so she has to be like 4 or 5.
Yeah. I was wondering if that was a nursery school, though. It was a little...
I don't know.
Yeah,
maybe. She seems...
Maybe, yeah, it's older. True. The kid's age.
Like I wonder if they used a young kid, because until the child has quite a bit of dialogue, but later she on, doesn't start talking till later on.
Yeah, I think.
But earlier in the film, every line she has, her mouth is turned away from the camera. And at first, I honestly thought, did they just get an adult actress to like talk like this, to sound like a baby, to like in editing to make the story less confusing? Maybe. But then later on, when they're on the run, fast forwarding a bit. The baby's speaking dialogue. Well, not baby, but you know what I mean? The little girl's speaking dialogue, and she's having these touching scenes with J-Lo. And it's her talking.
They're on the beach, and you know, she's playing with the kid, whatever, and like, what's his name, is just like laying there in the sand, and she looks at him like weird, like concerned, because he's like looking off into the distance, but it's like, well, he's just.
Yeah, relaxing. I don't know. They really, like, because all of a sudden, next scene.
And the next scene is so weird. Like in the next scene. Like, oh, she wants to take...
First, when the baby's born, there's, like, a weird thing there.
Oh, yeah, he won't give his baby.
His phone is ringing, and he, like, looks at it while he's, like, holding the baby for the first time, and he's, like, shuts it off, puts it in his pocket, and she's like, who is that? And he's like, oh, it's no one important. So yeah. She'll be like, she's suspicious about that, but like, oh, it's probably just work calling or something. Like,
yeah, I don't like.
There's nothing really suspicious
because nothing else is going on.
Yeah,
with
there's
him
no other.
That's like,
yeah.
You're just kind of like, well, maybe that is like, I don't know, his work or like, who knows?
Yeah.
Like, you know, telemarketer. I don't know. You know, like it. Yeah. So then they rush to it. If we get this scene where she's at home, his beeper is going off.
She tries to get in the shower with him, and he says, "No, sorry, Jennifer Lopez, I'm not going to take a shower with you."
Yeah, I don't know.
And I'm like, "Wait a minute, now that's suspicious in and of itself. Like that is really like she's like, I could take a shower with you, and you're like, you're Jennifer Lopez, okay?" But now he's like,
later
no.
on, he's like, "Oh, our sex life is great, and hey, these other people just give me more or whatever." But it's like, well, she's trying to give you. She's like,
"Yeah,
here, I'm going to get in the shower with you," and he's like, "No."
He gets paged. His beeper goes off the number 33. She calls the number 33 in his cell phone. It's some lady, and so she's like, she confronts him. You're having an affair. It all happens very fast.
Yeah.
In a movie that has not set this up.
I wish they'd set up more toward like that's like the breaking point where she's like, okay, now I'm sure that this is happening. She went from like happy, you know, happily married to all of a sudden like he's
like,
cheating
within,
on me. And
within 10 minutes, she goes from happily married to he's cheating on me and he beats her up.
Yeah.
I mean, physically. And I'm like, whoa.
Because she calls the woman. She finds out her name. The woman apologizes. And she's like, you're cheating on me. He's well, I'm a man. That's what men do. And by the way, and he punches her in the face.
Yeah.
And then he's like, I'm going to go sleep with this prostitute. And you can't do anything about the fact that I punched you. Then he leaves. And this is
the
first
thing is, though, that's two different scenes.
Is it? I thought that was the same.
That's two different scenes.
The first one is when he, you know, she finds out and he's like, oh, I'm sorry, whatever.
Oh, that's right.
And then
he sweet talks her.
And then it like dissolves to like later on.
He sweet talks her. You're right.
Where they just have the same conversation again, but it's like later on. I don't know why it couldn't have been.
There had to have been something in between.
Yeah, because I don't know why it couldn't have been the same scene.
I forget what the other movie we saw that had this where they dissolve between two characters. Those two characters having a conversation.
Was it the one with was it Ghost of Mars?
Oh, maybe it may have been Ghost of Mars.
There were a lot of dissolves in Ghost of Mars.
And it's just, and this is where I'm starting to get frustrated with this movie because I'm like, okay, because now you're not showing us the subtleties and really like
educating the audience how it works.
Really. Why many victims stay because of long-term manipulation or the kind of like gradual easing of control and stuff like that. No, it's just like a light switch goes on and, you know, he's hitting her. Because at this point, like in the world this movie is presented, people would be like, okay, she's just got to get out of there.
Yeah.
You know, and they don't, it frustrated me because a very complicated and serious issue is treated so just cheesily.
Oh, yeah. It's like, hey, you think you're happy? Your husband can just beat you in any second.
Yeah, and then he's like, I make the money. I make the rules.
Yeah. Like, oh, but boy. When he leaves, this is the first of what happens a lot in this movie, which is an off-screen sound effect indicates that someone's gone, and that's the cue.
So she waits. And
there's even a peeing one. Yeah. Like, she's waiting for him to leave. Okay, I'm going to call 911. And then all of a sudden, he's at the window. Who you calling, baby? Don't call the cops, because they're not going to help you. And I'm like, what? We're already, this is like the end of the second act in a normal movie. Like, this is, we're in the middle of the first act.
Yeah, I mean, it's, and so who, she does end up going to his mother, her mother-in-law, is the, which I'm like.
And her, the mother-in-law.
Like, what's really crazy, it's like, of all the people you're going to go to, you're going to go to his mother? Like,
Well, I guess they're implying that she doesn't have, but later on in the movie, they're talking to someone who I think is her mother.
I thought, or you'd go to your friends, or I don't know. And,
no,
and
I like, think her, mother, well, her mother's dead.
I think her mother's dead.
Well, his mother kind of almost is almost defending him. She says, well, what did you say to him?
Yeah.
As if she's saying you deserve to get punched. Said,
what did you do to
him? Yeah. So I'm like, I'm like, that's kind of confirming my thought of like, why did you go talk to his mom?
But then she goes to Juliette Lewis, who's like, well, sometimes guys just have testosterone and they turn on a dime. And I was like, well, that was kind of,
But Juliette Lewis says, you should really go to the cops. And J-Lo was like, she's like, I can't believe you would suggest such a thing.
The father of my child, I don't want him in prison. And she's like, well, then you either have to deal with it or
run away.
Yeah. This is actually where I started to like Juliette Lewis's performance a little more, because Juliette Lewis actually gives this where she's like, I don't know. Yeah. You're painting yourself into a corner and painting me into a corner with you.
It's either do that or, just deal with it. Or
Is this where she sneaks into the cops and.
Well, then she goes, she's thinking about, she goes to pick the kid up at school
because I think
she's going to, and the teacher's like, oh, your husband already picked him up. And J-Lo then peels out of this school park. I mean, this is a school where young kids are coming out and walking around, and you hear in sound effects, J-Lo, you know, like, floor it. I'm like, oh,
it didn't make it up because, like, the teacher comes, she's like, oh, your husband got her. And J-Lo's like, Oh, I must have forgot. Okay, yeah, have a good day.
It was like, well, this now, is your first indication of like our hero.
Yeah.
This was kind of strange. This sounded like something, again, you'd see later on in the movie. Jennifer Lopez is portraying an awful lot of confidence in this scene. She's obviously like scared for her child, so she would be. But again, at this point, at this stage of the game, she's supposed to be the manipulated, forced into submission victim of abuse, is instead of the strong shoulders back, I'm strong. She calls him up and he says, oh, hi, honey bun, apparently thinking that she's the prostitute. She says, no, it's your loaf of bread. And I was like, that came across kind of like, I'm coming for you and I want my kid back. That kind of, she seemed like she was coming from that. But then he says, oh no, we're at the zoo. And she's like, oh, okay. And she becomes the scared meek again. And it was a little inconsistency there because she does portray an awful lot. She plays the confident, strong very well, but that was kind of consistent.
Right. It's not. Well, and then we get probably the third or fourth craziest scene in the movie where she does go and talks to a police officer, the most non-supportive police officer. I mean, to the point of like, are you kidding me, dude? Like, this guy all but like talks her out of filing anything, which this is a whole, you know, again, this is a whole problem of, you know, many women for an assortment of legitimate reasons get afraid to file a report or,
it's putting forward a very good
this
concept.
This guy is like talking her out of it almost. Yeah. I think the movie has to do it for the conceit of this movie to work, but the scene is.
Because what he's saying makes sense. He's like, we can arrest him, but he's got money, so he will make bail. Then he's gonna be, you know, it's all realistic. But the way he's saying it is just like, yeah, well, he'll be out.
And at no point
then she mentions they have a kid, and he's like, oh, there's a kid. Then
at no point does he say anything like, well, there's actually shelters, or there's, I mean, they're in Los Angeles. There are so many agencies dedicated to doing nothing but helping victims of domestic violence with kids. So, and again, for the conceit of this movie, they need this scene.
Well, they need to justify her actions later.
At this point, she doesn't even know, like, how connected, quote-unquote, he is and how far he'll go to, like,
I'm not even sure. I still know how connected.
Well, at this point, it's still absolutely wrong that he did it. But at this stage of the movie, he's cheating on her. Openly admits it, doesn't care, and puts her down. He punched her one time.
I think he hit her a couple of times in that scene. Actually,
Made her think for a brief moment that he kidnapped her daughter. Now, obviously, this is a bad situation that she's in.
But,
this is
like
stage
realistic.
Of the game, she's acting as if he will soon be acting later on in the film, which is the possessive, I will chase you to the ends of the earth, I will destroy you, I will scare your friends.
And I will say, at this point in the movie, I was not totally on board. Luckily, I had read up on this movie, because at this point, I was like, okay, this movie hasn't gone completely off the rails yet, because it's showing us a clearly abusive relationship. Mm-hmm. She wants to get out. Okay. But now is when it goes off the rails. It's basically after this scene when has a cop talk her out of doing this, and she is seeing like, oh, okay, this is really scary. Where are things going to go? She comes up with an escape plan with help from her friends at the diner.
Yes.
Which involves them in a van outside her house going, kahoo, kahoo, like to cue her to come out, and involves her like putting like a water bottle in the toilet to make it sound like she's taking a pee for like, I guess like 8 minutes. This is one of two Rube Goldberg captions in the movie that don't make sense really. And then things go wrong. She's about to get out of the house.
Well, the problem is this. She's done it. She's gotten out of bed. She's snuck out. She's got the kid in her arm. She's got the bag. She's got help waiting outside, one of whom is armed with a baseball bat. She's at the door, and she decides to let her hand sit on the doorknob. And just like earlier in the movie, she's like, I'm walking out slowly. Come on. Come and get me. Try to stop me. And she's just sitting there, oh, like in a horror movie. I'm going to sit here for 15 minutes. And then, of course, he comes out of the shadows. You can never leave me. Starts beating her up.
Well, he doesn't come out of the shadow. He, like, bursts out of the closet.
Yeah, it's a closet. So
it's like Michael Myers
And it's like kind of like, much like in a Halloween movie, why would he hide himself in the closet?
Yeah, and how did he get in?
Like, how did he get in there? Like, the process of getting himself into the closet would have been more elaborate.
I wonder why any abuser would be hiding in a closet.
Hey-o.
Maybe we're getting to the deeper levels here. Maybe he hates.
Again, I don't think this movie is that deep. No.
But also, just going back for a second, why did they have to do like a bird call? Why couldn't they just say like, oh, we'll be there at 11 o'clock. Be ready at 11 o'clock.
Yeah, I didn't understand that either. I felt like they almost just had to have, it was again, like this movie does some weird like movie things where like the people in the van needed something to do. So it was like the owl call was it.
Yeah.
So finally, they hear the people in the van.
He starts beating her. Yeah.
Yeah. Hear him beating her. So they break into the house,
and he pulls a gun on them, and he says, "If I shoot you, you've broken into my house, so there's nothing you can do."
Which, and this is the first time in the movie when I started hitting my head against the table, going, "Okay, these guys are hearing him beating her. Call the police.
Right.
Call like." And this is going to be a running theme throughout my notes that this would be the perfect time for a character in the movie to call the police.
Yeah, because now there's. Obviously, she's been beaten.
Yeah.
There's three witnesses.
If the police show up, like, yeah, you have multiple. And then at one point, he's like, oh, if you go to the cops, it's going to be her word against mine. I'm like, well, actually, there's three other witnesses there. Yeah, and
bruises. And
yeah, I don't.
Like a shattered hip.
It's not really true. So one of her friends, J-Lo's friends from the diner, picks up her daughter.
The father figure friend.
Yeah, picks up the daughter and almost uses the daughter like
a human shield.
Well, kind of.
Well, he wakes her up and he's like, look at your father. So she sees
the dad holding the gun and the dad. So like, Billy Campbell's like, okay. And they get away. And I'm like, okay. Now I want to see where this movie's going.
Because
this scene was pretty off the rails, but maybe. And we were saying before we started recording, like, the craziness kind of comes in waves in this movie when something really nutty will happen. And then you'd be like, well, it kind of reset. Maybe things are okay. And then things get crazy again. She immediately starts trying to use her credit cards to check into hotels. Come on. We've all seen Fair Game.
Yeah, I was going to say. It's like ordering a pizza.
Yeah. We all know where that goes.
Like, you'd think that they would get. He does later on. But you'd think her friend there, her father figure friend, would just give her some cash. Here, cash.
Well, I felt like he didn't have that much money.
I'm sure he doesn't, but he clearly has enough money to buy her a plane ticket. He could buy her a night or two in a motel.
I guess, or well, Juliette Lewis does buy her that night at the hotel, and then he still finds her at the hotel because he's tracking Juliette Lewis's credit card.
This was so ridiculous. Like, she gets a call. She's on the run. She tries checking a hotel. She finds out her cards and her bank account have been frozen.
Yeah.
And she goes to a motel. Juliette Lewis, I guess, is supposed to have paid for the hotel room. She's on the phone with Juliette Lewis. They're talking for a little bit, and then she hangs up the phone, and then she gets another phone call, and it's him.
Yeah.
And then he says things which leads her to believe that he might be listening from outside the door or outside the window. And then all of a sudden, like in a horror movie, the door starts boom, 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 like shaking, like he's going to kick through. And she's got to jump out the window to escape.
And this is the movie. This feels more to me a lot of times like a 90s movie than a 2000s movie. Because they now put in this action sequence, which serves no point other than being an action sequence where she and her daughter are like running out of the hotel with Billy Campbell chasing them, and like, are they going to get to this bus before he catches them? And they get onto the bus and are like, close the doors.
All they have to do is not get to. There's like tons of people on the street. All she has to do is like just let him grab her, and then everyone will be like, hey, don't grab her.
They're surrounded by people. She could just be like, help me. Right. Like, this guy is going to hurt my daughter and I. Like, and this is the scariest message this movie has, which is don't reach out for help.
Yeah.
You know, in order to like fulfill its like action movie checklist. Yeah, yeah. You know,
yeah, there's no reason for it to be an action scene here.
I also thought it was weird that she pounds on the door and the bus driver opens the door, but then when he does it, it's not like,
oh, because the bus driver is obviously like, oh, this guy's trying to catch this woman for some reason. He's like the one guy who's trying to help her.
I think it would have been funny if she was like, open the door, I gotta get on the bus, and he did, and he closed the door, open the door, I gotta get on the bus, and he opened the door and closed the door. Everyone else on that street seemed to be complacent. Why not the bus driver?
And as we will go, we're gonna say this 1,000 times, she does not call the police, although at this point, like, this would be the perfect example. Call the police. They're going to come look at this hotel room door he's kicked in.
And there's all these witnesses.
Tons of witnesses.
Instead, Juliette Lewis now has to pay a steeper bill because there's damage to the room.
That's right. Her father figure friend pays for her plane ticket to Seattle.
So she's going to
see Dan Futterman.
Yes.
The guy who we were awkwardly introduced to at the wedding scene.
My one problem with him, though, is that he and Noah Wiley look too much alike.
Yes.
There's one point where he gets off like a bus or something. I'm like, is that Noah Wiley? And then they show Noah Wiley in the same shot. I'm like, okay.
Well, to the point where I actually thought the movie was going to do something with that.
Yeah.
Like, I thought they were going to have like Noah Wiley portray Dan Futterman or something like that.
Yeah,
but
some hot tricker,
they don't. It's just bad casting.
It's just like they're like way too far, too much alike.
They cast two people who look like brothers in different parts.
Yeah.
So they go to his apartment, and my whole time during this scene, you know, J-Lo, her daughter, they go to Dan, and I can't stop thinking about, why did this movie, which is now kind of setting up Dan Futterman as like a love interest, why did this movie have Dan Futterman and Juliette Lewis have sex? And like, this is, I feel like I say this all the time on the show, this is a scripted film. It's not a documentary. Yeah. Like, you didn't need to do that. And yet it makes the whole rest of this movie super awkward.
Well, she got him laid, so he's like, I'll help you out.
You
did me a solid, I'll do you a solid.
Well, the implication is, I never told, even though she invited him to the wedding, he really doesn't know this guy. So she feels, he doesn't really know who he is. Therefore, I'm going to go to Seattle and stay with my ex-boyfriend because he's the guy that Mitch won't track down. But here comes the most ridiculous. Like, I was like, this was like the Net. I was like, what's going on here?
This is very the Net, because FBI agents show up at what's the boyfriend's name? I can't. Is it Joe? I feel like it's Joe.
John, something like that.
Jay, his name's... we'll call him Joe, but it may be John. But FBI agents show up at his door, and they're like, FBI, can we come in? He's like, do you have a warrant? The agent actually shows, like, through the people, a paper that says search warrant. He lets them in. It becomes immediately clear these are fake FBI agents who actually took the time to print up a fake search warrant. Now we're really into the Net territory.
Yeah, because Mitch has paid goons to pretend to be the FBI to search the house of a guy he barely knows, that he somehow tracked his address in the event that his wife, who he doesn't really care about because he's sleeping with prostitutes anyway, might run away and hide there. Like, and this is so ridiculous.
They turn the apartment upside down. It's completely apparent to J-Lo's ex-boyfriend that these guys are not FBI agents. That something is very wrong here. he goes to call the police and they like knock the phone out of his hand.
I was married to a cop. I don't need that crap. Is what he says.
And then we find out that J-Lo and her daughter are hiding in the Millennium Falcon's shipping panels. I mean, it's basically what it is, right?
Yeah,
I mean, and it's funny because like these fake FBI agents are going to the point of emptying out dresser drawers, but aren't looking at large, essentially cabinet vents under the windows that you can see actually are open.
You can see her like looking out.
You can see her
looking out. Shadow, she's like,
so like in a horror this movie is kind of inconsistent. Sometimes it's a drama, sometimes it's an action movie, sometimes it's a horror movie.
So
Well, and they set something up here too, because finally Joe or John or whatever is like, okay, you guys gotta leave. I know you're not.
I think his name is Joe. I just figured it out because the creepiest of the fake FBI agents they call Johnny Boy.
He decides to screw with him and he says, "Good night, John Boy."
Well, yeah.
And he cuts the couch with a knife.
Yeah, so they're like setting something up there where. Like there's, you know, somehow that guy's gonna come back. Like this big thug looking guy.
You would think.
Yeah, because they just create this tension between John and Joe, and it's like, okay, something's gonna happen. And then like they just never show up. They show up for like a brief scene.
He's in the background. He's in the background of a flashback scene.
Yeah, in a VO scene. They never see. I was like, that's crazy that guy never came back.
I love it.
Now at this point, I'm like, call the cops. Fake FBI agents just came in with a fake search warrant.
Ransacked your apartment.
By the way, like sliced up your house.
Yeah, that's a crime right there.
Call the cops. Yeah. Like,
It's on the speed dial because he called 911 and they get the phone hung up.
He was actually in the process of calling the cops. They stopped him. They leave. It would be like, dude, there is nothing stopping you from calling the cops.
I just don't feel like anymore.
So crazy. We then learn that J-Lo does know who her father is.
It's this guy named Jupiter.
Jupiter.
Played by Fred Ward.
Who's like a mysterious billionaire. Because at this point I took my eyes off the movie to answer an email and I missed some of this. Do they explain why he's so rich?
Never.
No.
He just has an office with lots of, he has like this postmodern looking office with lots of weird art hanging up, lots of people, and he wears really nice suits.
Like big rings and
like,
stuff.
Yeah, so okay. I'm thinking, is he like a mobster, or is he a legitimate businessman with just like
I don't think he was anything. I think it was...
His name is Jupiter.
I gave the movie too much credit, because I actually thought, I'm like, they probably explained that in that 45 seconds missed.
All they explain is that he has slept with a lot of women. He's probably got a lot of children out there.
And J-Lo has one of
them. His secretary comes in, and he's like, oh, Jupiter, there's a woman out here who claims to be your daughter, and she wants to talk to you. So he comes out, and J-Lo's with her daughter, and so he sees the little girl and he's like, oh, she can't be mine, I haven't had sex since 1995, or at least in this country, or something like that. I was like, so they're setting him to be like a huge jackass.
Yeah,
because then like, no, I'm your daughter. He's like, well, whatever. Here's $6 or whatever.
Yeah, gives everyone some minimal amount of money.
Because he's upset that all these people keep coming out of the woodwork looking to get money from him. I'm sure people aren't really his children.
She comes in and she says, like, I need help. We need help. But she never says, like, oh, my husband's trying to kill me.
No, she gives you no information.
I want her to meet her grandfather is all she
says. And this character who we knew nothing about, Fred Ward, almost immediately the movie has do a complete 180.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, well,
for the dumbest reason ever, too.
Why? Like, we didn't even, like, this scene is meaningless. It's conflict for no, with no meaningful resolution or source.
Well, what this character is in the plot is to facilitate her continuing to be able to exist legitimately on the run because she would need a source of money.
But, yes.
That's the only reason why he exists.
But it makes sense. But at this point, she should have been like, look, I've come to the point where I have to come, you know, groveling to my father who was dead to me yesterday. She should be like begging him, like, I need your help. My husband's trying to kill me. Instead, she comes in and she's like, you're an asshole. And then they get in a fight and she just leaves.
Now, here's another thing. Like, the whole idea here is kind of working to a small degree. One part of this is working. Only one part of this is working. He is wealthy. He apparently has illegitimate kids. He's sick and tired of them always coming around looking for money because he doesn't know which one are his kids and which ones are just people using that to their advantage to extort him. He's tired of it.
By the way, it's 2002. DNA has been around for a long time.
Absolutely.
But yeah.
Well, Jennifer Lopez gives him this ring that she wears around her neck. Maybe this will prove to you that I'm your daughter. She hands it to him. He looks at it without recognizing it, and she walks out of the room. Yeah. And it's never brought up again. Yeah. You would think that would be the scene where she says, here, and she slams down on the table, and he goes, oh, my God. Okay, tell me what's going on. Like, that's the thing that makes him believe,
Everything involving the Fred Ward character, I could be totally wrong. I feel like he is a character that was added in later drafts of the script, because I feel like they were having problems with being like, ah, boy, how do we get the daughter out of the kid out of the movie? Oh, we got to send her to Hawaii. How are we going to, wait, how is she moving? How is she paying for the training?
She buys a new house.
And he's a completely convenient character of 90% of the crazy things that happen in the rest of the movie are just credited to Fred Ward's a billionaire. Yeah. Like, it's just for the convenience of the film.
He's basically a Q.
Yeah.
To her, James Bond.
Yeah. Basically. Yeah. And it's very lazy and not supported. And that's where the thing with the ring, or where there's this conflict isn't resolved. Like, I feel like the later drafts of this script didn't. Like,
well, there's something later on where they set up for him to come back at the end and then he doesn't.
And he doesn't. I was like, he does not.
I remember that.
He's all set up because you think the ring is going to come back. No, it doesn't come back.
I want you to acknowledge that I'm really your daughter. Nope.
Never comes back. Yeah, like, I laughed when the credits started rolling and Fred Ward had never came back. I was like, Fred Ward has to be like, what movie did I do? Like, what happened?
Well, because later on, I'm skipping forward a bit, but a little later on, he sends her a letter.
Well, let's explain.
Yeah, because she runs away.
She runs away. She moves to Michigan.
Yeah, she moves to Michigan.
And she starts a new life there, changes her name.
Probably worth noting that this movie's Michigan looks a lot like this movie's Seattle. It was shot in the same place. But she moves in there. And then she gets a letter from Fred. I mean, like,
well, she starts this whole life. She somehow gets a house. She booby traps her house. And,
well, no, because she gets the house because he sends her money.
Oh, okay, yeah.
She starts, it's so quick. It's like so she
gets
immediate.
She gets this letter from when in the plot it happens, I don't know, but it's very important that she gets this letter from Fred Ward that says, "Oh, by the way, these thugs showed up pretending to be FBI agents. They threatened to kill me. They were looking for you because I hate them. I'm going to help you.
Yeah.
Here's an undisclosed amount of money, but it's obviously enough to buy a house and start a life. So it's got to be at least $100,000.
And by the way, that's the last time you see anything from these fake FBI agents, too.
That's the last time you see.
And apparently, they're just like the Seattle Bureau of
his. And Fred Ward also notes that he sent the money to the diner she worked at.
Oh, yeah.
Where I'm like, how did Fred Ward know what diner she worked at? I don't remember that ever coming up in their conversation.
Well, if Mitch can find out where her ex-college boyfriend that he doesn't know lives so he can send fake FBI agents to rough him up, then Fred Ward can figure out where the diner of his illegitimate daughter that he didn't know about until 3 days before is.
The net / abduction technology works both ways.
He's got a one-man dirty duty squad working for him.
That's right.
So now there's just a sequence of her getting this house and decorating the house and, you know,
and now they're playing this powerfully empowering music where a female vocalist is singing about, you know, like moving on and being strong, and it's this again now the movie is trying to ground itself again in like a Lifetime type situation where it's trying to show a positive message that you can move on despite the fact that she's doing everything wrong. She's running away, she's breaking the law, and she's not going to law enforcement, and she's refusing legitimate avenues of help.
But at least she's like hiding out, because this is another point where the crazy wave of like the fake FBI agents and Fred Ward has crashed, and now you're like, okay, maybe this movie is trying to like right the ship. If she just ran off to Michigan, she's going to start a new life, and we're kind of getting like a Sleeping with the Enemy style reboot.
Yeah.
No, we're not. This is not. It can't last in this.
We're going to have Ruth Goldberg coming.
Noah Wiley is back in the movie. Yes,
he shows up again.
And this is where it's revealed.
Because now Billy Campbell's at this police precinct and he's like, "You help me get this girl. I wanna find her. She's the mother of my kid and I want my kid back." So all of a sudden he cares about his kid. Okay. So then Noah Wiley's like, "We pulled that scam on dozens of girls." What?
Yeah.
Like, why is Jennifer Lopez so special? Especially since he's sleeping with prostitutes all the time. I don't get this character.
This kept making me think of the end of The Wicker Man, for like how many men the Wicker Man woman had brought to that island. And like that Billy Campbell and Noah Wiley had been running this incredibly elaborate scam. And I'm amazed at no point Noah Wiley went like, "Dude, this is just too much work. Like, we don't need to do this. Like,
just go ask to a girl out. Bar. You're a millionaire.
Yeah, just ask. You're a rich dude. Just ask these girls out." So And then, you know, or Billy Campbell's like, we got to get somebody, or we got to take care of this. And Noah was like, oh, I know some guys. And Billy Campbell's like, oh, like those fake FBI agents. You know what? That didn't cut it.
Yeah.
Noah Wiley, you're going to Michigan.
It has to be you. You know her voice. Yeah. And she knows his.
Yeah. You know? So simultaneously, J-Lo's daughter convinces her, like, oh, you want to see Joe again. You should have
from
him
Seattle.
Come.
Yeah.
It cuts to Joe, like, getting off a boat or a plane or something. And this is the shot.
Ham-fisted back into this plot.
Well, yes. This is the shot where I was like, wait, is that that guy or is that Noah Wiley? And then he comes walking and then it, like, pans over Noah Wiley sitting in a truck. So I was like, okay, well, at least they cleared that.
Yeah.
There's Noah Wiley and there's that other guy.
You feel like someone, like the cinematographer, someone was like, boy, those two do look a lot alike. Yeah. I should establish who's who in this scene.
Especially since they're going to be in the same scene.
Yeah.
But so I don't know why Noah Wiley showed up, because the last time you saw him, he's like, oh, you got to go. I guess they found out he's in Michigan. But then he went to hang out at, like, the airport or whatever. Or was it the airport? Or was it,
it was a dock.
A dock.
I think they're, like, in the Upper Peninsula, and he took a boat to get there.
Yeah, so he's just, like, waiting at the dock. Like, he doesn't know J-Lo's there. He doesn't know that she called this other guy to come.
Yeah, I mean, he's...
Did they follow him?
He's literally just sleeping in
did
the car.
Did Mitch just follow Joe? Is that how they got there? I think Noah Wiley, because... Oh, they traced the phone calls. They've been tracing these phone booths, but she's been calling from all around Michigan, not from one location.
Right.
So,
right.
Okay, picking what state she's in is one thing. Picking who she is is quite another.
Noah Wiley just happened to be hanging out at a random dock in the state of Michigan, which is huge.
And he's coverall, so he looks different in case someone recognizes him.
When J-Lo's ex-boyfriend walks right by his truck. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, it's incredible that is the least crazy thing in this movie.
It's the communication age. It's easy to find people. That's what Mitch said earlier.
So there's a weird thing where, like, as J-Lo and Joe are talking on the dock, her kid's, like, bouncing a basketball around. And then, like, Noah Wiley shows up and is like, hey, you want to see a trick? And it's like, that doesn't go anywhere.
So they're just going to, like, kidnap her.
He literally showed her a trick.
Like, but let's talk about this soon. Why, in this, I almost feel like in an earlier draft of the movie, this did happen and this was taken out. If you're Noah Wiley at that point, why don't you just grab the kid?
Right.
And then just take her back to Mitch.
Yeah. I don't know. In fact, it makes no sense that he didn't just do that.
Just do a Robert Loggia from
What may have been going on was something that was so confusing. Maybe Noah Wiley was going to kidnap the kid, and then Mitch was going to come back and pretend to be the hero, just like he did with J-Lo at the beginning of the movie, and save the daughter to try to clean up his image in the eyes of his daughter.
Take the kid, and then if you're Mitch, just be like, oh, hey, I tracked down my daughter who my wife kidnapped. And
now Mitch shouldn't even want his wife anymore now that he's got his daughter.
Because at this point, and Noah Wiley basically Bond villains this and, like, snatches defeat from the jaws of victory.
He literally shows her a trick with the basketball
and then leaves. Like, for nothing. It's so it's pointless.
So they go back to her house, and I guess Noah Wiley follows her, and then there's this whole scene with them in bed where he tries to say, oh, I'm so bad at sexting, and she's like, you forgot that we've had sex.
They do finally talk about, like, you were sleeping with Juliet Lewis,
right?
It's like, yeah, that's weird.
She brought it up too, I think.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, Julia Lewis.
They're talking about this while a 5-year-old is sleeping next to them.
Yeah. Yeah.
When there's a super mega weird thing where he's kind of like, hey, I mean, I came all this way. Can't I at least get a? And I'm like, oh no, oh no, oh no. What are you gonna say next? And then he says, like, just a kiss, and I'm like, okay. Because I really thought this was going to a very bad place.
Did we skip the earlier Mitch attack where the Rube Goldberg device is utilized?
No, that comes up right now. Yeah. That comes up right now.
Yeah. Excellent.
Joe leaves.
So the next, Joe leaves, and she gets
He's got to go back to Seattle. Yeah, he's, like, on vacation or something. Yeah, he's got
to
go back.
Which I thought he was, like, there to be with her, but
Michigan and Seattle look very similar.
Yeah. So,
like, I'm going to say that Dan Futterman only shot on one location.
So they go to, or she, like, wakes up the next day or whatever, she's alone, and she goes into the bathroom.
They had to reuse that peeing sound effect.
But I thought it would have been funny if she's, again, like, put the bottle in there, like, for no reason. Just, like, every time she goes to the bathroom, puts a bottle in the toilet to make the sound she's peeing.
So she sees, like, they show,
like, a shot of, like, Noah Wiley outside watching or something the night before. So she's, like, she sees, like, a shadow in her shower, and she's, like, freaked out, and she opens the shower, there's no one there, and then... She has this feeling someone's in her house, and then she, like, walks out, and And then all of a sudden, Mitch is there. She runs into Mitch.
Yeah. And he's like,
does he like burst out of any doors?
No, he's just standing
there. No, he's just kind of standing there creepily. Yeah. And he's like, I want you back. And she's like, no. And
he starts beating her up again.
And then the little kid actually saves the day by pulling her dad's hair.
Yeah.
Which allows J-Lo to pick up the kid and run out. And we have to talk about this because
she's got the watch too. I forgot about that.
She has she's like a James Bond watch
with the pepper spray or whatever.
That's right.
And that's how she gets away. She in his face,
and then she starts running and she trips this wire that causes.
It's not she trips a wire. She picks up a watering can, which pulls a lever, which causes a board to fall like a bar to fall across the door.
Right.
But by the way, this only works to lock people inside the house. Yes. It wouldn't work to keep people out of the house. So it's a very specific contraption.
Yeah, she knew that he'd be in the house to be able to get out and then lock
him in. Yeah, she'd be surprised in the house.
What if that door opens inside? Don't most doors open to the inside?
Yeah, I think
like
they
front
do.
Doors when she, well, when they just like open it and duck under it.
And I feel like they had no confidence in this in the editing room because you see her do this and you see it fall.
But they don't show the payoff.
They never show the payoff. Yeah. They never show him getting stuck on it. Or they never cut back.
They don't
to
show
it
for another 20 minutes.
You know why? Just says, because the set designer realized he just walks up to the door, opens it, and then ducks.
Well, I think they probably just realized like this looked good on the paper, but this is overly complicated and dumb. And I think they were like, well, we have to show her leaving the house. So we're going to show it, but don't cut back.
Right.
Don't
Wouldn't
cut
that have made more sense that she just ran away? I mean, he's clearly doubled over in pain. He's probably temporarily blinded.
Yeah, he's got
All she has to do is jump in the car and go. And of course, Noah Wiley's on the chase.
And she recognizes
and we get an
Noah
action
Wiley.
Car chase.
Well, wait. Yeah. Before we say that, we should say she recognizes Noah Wiley. Obviously,
like
we know
as
the
audience
who know. Six years after he was in the diner for 5 minutes pulling the scam, and as if the audience has forgotten who Noah Wiley is, they replay some of that scene. It's really like, come on, have some respect for your audience.
Well, one thing I thought is she's being followed. Now, we, the audience, know she's being followed, but she doesn't, even though she's in this hyper state of awareness and she's very paranoid. She, understandably so. She pulls over in like this really shady like back alley so they could like change clothes and put a wig on or something to disguise her identity. And then Noah Wiley, like an idiot, knocks on the window of the door. Yeah. We get the unnecessary flashback shot, so she makes the connection. He tries to open the door, which doesn't work. She speeds away, and he's like, come on! He gets back in his car. Like, what? He doesn't have, like, a gun or something? Like,
no,
he's
I
a
mean,
cop.
I don't know what...
I mean, he's the bad guy, so of course he would use one.
I don't know what his plan was. I don't know that she was just going to be like, I give up, or I don't know. Oh, okay, and now we get... And again, this
I almost thought he should have pulled out a rose to, like, freak her out.
Yeah, that would have And we get a super 90s, just like tacked on
car chase.
Movie needs car chase. Here's a car chase. But it's crazy. Like, again, Jennifer Lopez is a questionable hero. This car chase is so dangerous.
She's putting the little girl in
and
danger.
And the little
They're
girl is like screaming and crying. And it's like, call the cops. I mean, like, I'm realizing this is a fictional movie. And I'm like, oh my God. Like, I'm getting stressed for this little kid. And I'm like, call the cops.
I will say the editing and the music and the tension, like, it was a good car chase. It just didn't make any sense in the context of the movie.
She ends up driving across a bridge that's, like, blocked off. So it's like, how do you know that bridge is, like, not going to collapse with you and your kid? And, you know what I mean?
I didn't understand that either.
She drives across because there's, like, a... Because his truck can't fit under the thing. And
but how did she know that it was safe for her?
She did
calculations. Yeah.
I guess she's... Because then she's got a second car waiting for her. So it's like, clearly, she's playing this out.
Yeah. Well, he gets in this... Yeah, he hits the thing, and he's like, oh, this truck's just ready. He gets out of the truck. He's like, she got away. And I'm like, okay, he's going to come back later.
Another guy never comes...
Noah Wiley
There's
again.
No resolution with Noah Wiley.
I thought he's going to come back and be like, I'm pissed at you.
For all we know, for the rest of the movie, he's at a body shop somewhere in Michigan being like, look... My hood's, we all know the roof of my car is totaled. Yeah, I don't, that's so crazy that he never comes back.
Yeah.
I know.
That's so nuts.
Yeah, so she switches cars. She's got this whole setup where she's got another car somewhere stashed away with clothes and money and all this stuff and wigs and she can
and
just
she,
take off.
She can escape again. And then, and she had taken on this identity in Michigan of, I think she was calling herself Erin. I think that was the whole thing. So there's this whole conversation where she says to her daughter, Erin is over. And this is a quote from the film that I did not understand at all. She says to her daughter, And you are not the Queen of England anymore.
It's because she told her daughter she can pick her own name, and she went with Queen Elizabeth.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. I missed that because that line came up, and I'm like...
Because when she takes her to school earlier, and the teacher's like, oh, what's your name? She's like, Queen Elizabeth.
Which is the setup to what I thought was actually probably the best line in the movie, and probably one of the few lines in the movie that I actually liked, is when the waitress says, what's your name, little girl? And she says, I don't know anymore.
Yeah.
Which I thought was kind of a touching little line, implying they've been going... In a good movie, that would have been very, like, heartstring.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. The little girl is very good in this movie.
Yeah, yeah.
And that I mean, for, I don't, like I said, her age is a little determined. Maybe
she seemed younger. Oddly enough, she seemed younger than what she was playing.
But she
seems like the cast the wrong age. She's doing well. She's doing well.
We now get what is maybe my favorite scene.
Oh, yes. Where she strong arms her way into a lawyer's office.
Yeah. And we should probably explain when we say she Henry Cavill's her way in, it's a reference to our Cold Light of Day episode, which I highly recommend. You can find it on stopthemoviepodcast.podbean.com. Yeah. It's very, this is exactly how Henry Cavill's character in Cold Light of Day would have done this. She barges into a lawyer's office, comes in, just going, I am not a crazy person. Where
here's $500. She's doing lots of money.
If you're saying I am not a crazy person, you should be aware that what you're doing is probably crazy. And just barrels in saying, I need someone who is smart. I have money.
Shut up and take my money.
This is so nuts.
Yeah.
So she's talking to this lawyer. And you have to laugh because the lawyer calls out, this is where the movie essentially shines a light on its own stuff, and the lawyer's like, you should have been calling the police. In fact, on multiple occasions, like, you should have called the police.
Now, this is what I really hate. There's this thing that's going to happen to her that they keep mentioning, and it's a custody hearing. So there's a custody hearing for a kid.
Yeah, they keep
saying this guy doesn't report, this guy clearly reports that his wife has kidnapped her child.
Yeah.
And his only recourse is to drag her to court to try to get the custody of the kid. So he's, apart from taking illegal avenues to try to find her, he's also trying legal ones as, like, what, a backup? And she's like, well, if I'm going to keep running, but the ticking clock of this movie is I have to be at that custody hearing on Monday morning. Yeah. I have to be at the custody hearing on Monday morning or else I'm going to lose my kid. Well, you already have the kid. You're in a perpetual state. It's not a victory per se, but in a sense, well, you've won.
And the lawyer's like, you have not informed the police of multiple violent incidents involving you and your daughter. This is where the movie comes to an insane head where he's like, nope, there's nothing you can do, which is like, whoa.
But basically he says, you better be at that custody hearing. Oh, wait, he's going to use that custody hearing to dry out to kill you. Here, take the $500 back. And I was like, what?
Well, this is the other scene.
Do the right thing, but don't do the right thing. And by the way, you're going to die. That's what this movie is telling,
I'm convinced that this entire scene is a reshoot because it doesn't. It's completely independent of the rest of the film.
Yeah.
You can add it in. There's a ton of exposition in the scene.
And she's wearing a wig, so they didn't have to worry about Jennifer Lopez's hair looking different
I think this is an added scene.
The character's wearing a wig.
You really need. I think the only reason is they're just to have someone convince her finally that he's going to kill you, so you should have to do something.
Yeah.
But
make sure it's not legal.
Yeah. So the next scene made me laugh because... She's like at an airport, or no, it cuts to Jennifer or
Julia Lewis
at the airport with like her kids, wherever she's like,
because now some time has passed,
a payphone rings, so she like answers the payphone. She's like, this is getting ridiculous, whatever. And JLo's on the line, she's like, okay, now I need you to drive rent a car, drive to San Jose or something, then take a plane to Michigan or something. I can't remember.
To Hawaii.
Somewhere.
This is crazy. Juliet Lewis and J-Lo's daughter go to Hawaii.
No, they don't.
They don't?
No, because what happens, what makes me laugh is she's like, okay, whatever. So she goes and like rents a car and she's like going to put her stuff in the car and J-Lo pops up in the parking garage. And she's like, wait, I thought you told me I had to take a car to San Jose and fly to Hawaii.
Right.
And J-Lo's like, no, I just needed to know you weren't being followed. I'm like, how does that prove she wasn't being followed?
Yeah, does it? Well,
the people who are following her are now watching the two of them talk in the garage. Yeah.
Well, there's also a later scene that demonstrates J-Lo doesn't understand the concept of being followed.
Yeah.
That's coming up, but But then Juliette Lewis does take her daughter to Hawaii from there, right?
She takes her somewhere, yeah.
She's I believe they do.
She's like, here's some money, take you know, just a week or whatever.
It's Jupiter's money.
They say indefinitely.
It's I'm not sure when this will be over.
That's pretty trippy. Yeah. Like
what's Juliette Lewis must have a job. She clearly has kids who were not introduced earlier in the film, but she has kids. Oh, she did? Okay.
And I think the first thing where she's going to bang that guy, she's like, oh, my kids are out of town for the weekend or whatever.
Okay.
Yeah. So
yeah, she has her kids. She's taking her kid, and then she's taking.
So the movie just basically conveniently dumps the kid character.
Yeah.
And this is again where Fred Ward is just convenience. Yeah. And J-Lo starts some crazy
She meets a random like kung fu master. This is like Morpheus from the Matrix.
Now this is crazy because
she's in this training montage where she's being all badass.
And I would have never in a million years guessed that this was where this movie was going while I was watching it.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, that would end up with her training to be an MMA fighter.
That's basically what they do, and they like start editing scene like they basically montage. Now like almost like Reservoir Rocky Dogs for this montage. Where you're seeing it in like out of
you
sequence.
You are a rock. You are strong. He cannot beat you. He will not hit you. You're gonna hit me. Let's try again. Do it again. And I was like, this is like in the Matrix.
If he dies, he dies.
You think that's air you're breathing? You know, like I was like, what? Yeah.
And one of the things he says during this is he goes, it takes twice as much. No, or J-Lo says, it takes twice as much energy to swing and miss as to swing and hit. I'm like, no, there's no way that's true.
It's the same amount of energy as this.
Definitely no way that's true.
I suppose you could argue if you swing and miss and then swing and hit, you've done the useless swing and that wasted energy.
Maybe.
But that's not what he meant.
He sets her up. He's like, well, we have to be ready for the impossible, too. So just assume he's got you down on the ground and he's going to want to kick you.
And then for some reason, they didn't show it. And
well, it's like, you know, okay, obviously she's going to be down on the ground. He's going to be trying to kick her. Yep. And this is how he's going to yell.
And they purposely didn't show it. And when they finally did, it was something really simple.
Yeah,
it was so like, why not just show it? Why not just, sweep the leg.
It's basically it.
Yeah.
And then, so after this training montage, we get the final scene with Fred Ward. Fred Ward was the one who set her up with the trainer.
I like how she's dressed now, too. She's dressed like some like spy or something. She's got like the trendy coat on and her hair is
She's all almost
short.
Like Jason Bourne before there was like a Jason Bourne movie.
Uh-huh.
And she tells Fred Ward, she's like, hey, you get 5 hours. Go hire a body double who looks like me. Fred Ward's like, all right, okay. Like now, Fred Ward, who he's only been in three scenes, not even three scenes. This is like his second.
This is his. Well, technically, it's his third scene.
He has a voiceover.
That was the shot I thought you were going
to
say.
He's gone from giving her like $12 in singles to now being bossed around to her to be like finding her body doubles.
Well, this is where she says, "I need you to do one more thing for me too," and he's like, "What?" And she's like, I need you to acknowledge you're my father, but not right now because it'd be phony. Yeah. So you figure he's going to come back at the end and be like, I'm okay, you're my daughter, whatever. And
He just kind of smiles, that rascal, and that's the end.
The whole movie is like a tour of characters who will never come back and who should be coming back.
Maybe that's why they used recognizable faces. Maybe that's why they used Noah Wiley and Fred Ward, because you knew you were never going to see them again, so they wanted to make that impression in your mind.
But I think it makes it even weirder. Like, when you see Noah Wiley or Fred Ward,
you expect them to do more.
Well, something, they're going to come back in. Like, their storyline is going to resolve, in part because they're hinting to you that their storyline is going to resolve.
Like, there's going to be a shootout at the end with Noah Wiley, the three goons, Fred Ward.
I definitely thought
the old man
Seattle
with the baseball
boyfriend,
bat.
Well, Seattle boyfriend and the Johnny Boy character. I'm like, well, clearly.
They gave that guy a name. You figure he's going to come back.
And like this whole weird interaction. I'm like, well, clearly those two are going to have a moment.
Like there's going to be like an Anchorman scene at the end where they're all like fighting in a field or something.
He was going to get I really thought the Seattle boyfriend was going to get his hero moment somehow, and it never happens. No.
Well, his hero moment is helping her out and being a good
guy. No, because she has to do it herself.
Yeah. So she uses this body double to distract a guy who's following her in San Francisco, and
this random dude who's just following her, no explanation.
And it's just one dude following her who she doesn't even, like, thank God there weren't other people following her, or it was just one person on foot doing surveillance. Because if it hadn't been that way, this wouldn't have worked.
Or if he just turned around and checked behind him, like, for a second, because the body double walks out of the building, he follows her, and then she walks out immediately while he's still in, like, earshot.
And now things get real weird. This is essentially now the third act of the movie where she breaks into, J-Lo breaks into Billy Campbell's condo.
Now, I thought she was like home aloning it. Like,
I did too. In fact, in the movie,
she kind of sort of does.
Yeah, a little bit, but not really. She sets up like really.
So basically, what she does, he apparently has like scaffolding as his ceiling.
Yes.
And he's sleeping with some woman, and again, like, why does he?
But I want to clarify a little of the timeline of this, because this is what's especially crazy. Right.
Yeah, yeah.
She breaks in at night, when he is there with his lady friend and asleep. I'm not totally sure, but she literally, and the movie portrays it, she hangs out just to creep.
Yeah.
Like, she just hangs out in the scaffolding.
Well, this is,
for hours.
Overnight?
Here's what drove me freaking crazy about this is she goes through all this MMA stuff. She spends a whole day setting up his house so that she can come home and have this MMA fight with him. It's like, you were there while he was sleeping. If you just want to kill him, just kill him while he's sleeping. I mean, it's not going to look any more suspicious than when you're there beating the crap out of him. I mean,
she's already set up the evidence that makes it look like he beat her up.
Yeah, right. I didn't understand that.
And you could have Juliette Lewis lie and say, oh, she was in Hawaii with me that day. You know what I mean? Or you got this double be seen around town.
There is a shot, and I hope Jack does this for our Facebook page, of J-Lo peering over the scaffolding that is so Al Pacino minutes. In 88 minutes. And it's done so weirdly.
I don't know why she didn't take like an opportunity when he was like, not aware she was there. She totally announces. We'll get there in a second, but it's just, I mean, it's so dumb.
She does it like a James Bondy type thing. Like, it's like, you know, oh, welcome back, Mr. Bond. Yeah. Now you're going to play through my chess game as I.
Yeah, she, like, you know. Well, she becomes like the villain, and then she's basically stalking him, watching him, and like.
Which the idea is
this, like, girl he's with. And
she's like moved his guns and cut the phone lines.
Well, hold on. Before that, the next morning.
Yeah.
So the next.
Oh, the coffee machine.
Yeah, so the next morning, he leaves. He walks out the door.
And by the way, if
we learned one thing about Billy Campbell, when you hear his car start, you shouldn't take that for granted. He's really likes to make quick about turns.
Oh, I don't want to mention quick because I forgot this in the beginning.
Yeah, do it.
He's in the shower and he turns the shower off. And then like literally 30 seconds later, he comes out and he's like in a suit and his hair is like gelled and stuff. So he's like really quick about doing things like that.
Yeah. It's nuts. So you hear his car start. She jumps down immediately, brings her bag.
Yeah, I don't know why she came down immediately. I'm yelling at the TV, like, just wait 10 minutes. Like, you have all day, just wait 10 minutes.
Wait 10 seconds. Yeah. I was like,
make sure he's not coming back.
For someone who has done nothing but creep from the ceiling all night, she's in a rush.
Yeah.
So she comes down for. Okay, and she, for reasons I don't understand, she turns off the coffee machine.
Yes.
Why did she turn off the coffee machine?
Because he always forgot to turn off the coffee
machine. But why did she turn it off?
Was it part of her psychological plan to like freak him out when he got home and turn off the coffee machine? And is that why he came back in to turn off the coffee machine?
Then she should have seen the coffee machine, they
should have set this up where in the first scene of the movie, yep, you're leaving the coffee machine on. She sees he left the coffee machine on, and now that's how she knows she's got to hide because he's going to come back in.
No, she turns it off. I guess she didn't want the house to burn down before she got to kill him.
I guess. I really think that's it. I think she's like, look, hey, if someone's going to die in this condo, it's going to be by my hand, not an accidental fire.
Which would have also solved all of her problems.
Yeah. So he comes back, and she had also brought her giant duffel bag down with
her. Which is bright yellow, too. Like
bright yellow duffel bag.
She's wearing all black, and she's got this neon yellow duffel bag that's quite inconspicuous.
So he comes back in. He goes over to the coffee machine. He sees the coffee machine is off, Billy Campbell.
Because he came back in to turn it off.
To turn it off. And he's super, like, kind of, like, suspicious and, like, what's going on here? I thought I left it on. Now, at the same time, they establish J-Lo is in the kitchen hiding behind, like, the breakfast bar.
Yeah.
And she's looking at her giant duffel bag.
Which
is bright yellow. I don't know why they're showing us this, because it is a fake threat in that somehow Billy Campbell does not notice a giant yellow duffel bag. But the movie takes the time to establish it as, like, oh, my God, what if he sees there's a giant yellow duffel bag? He doesn't see it. Yeah. He doesn't see J-Lo, even though she's like scooching around the breakfast bar, like Scooby-Doo style, like hiding from him. Like you half expect like J-Lo to like pop out of the top half of the refrigerator or something. And he goes back out of the condo.
Yeah, he goes again. His car starts up again and pulls away again.
Yeah, I honestly thought at this scene, now this is going to, I'm sorry if this sounds really stupid, but you know what, I'm just throwing it out there. In this scene, I thought for a second, Wouldn't even smelled her perfume. Oh, wait, maybe she put on that all-natural crystalline deodorant she was telling Juliette Lewis about in the opening scene.
That was weird, yeah.
Like, he doesn't smell her because she's using this organic deodorant that has no fragrance.
That's right.
Because I was like, he would have smelled her perfume. He's like,
I doubt she would have put for perfume on if she's sneaking into his house to kill him.
That's true.
I guess.
So now we get this, like what Cody said, I thought was going to be a Home Alone-style sequence, but all she does is she uses a metal detector to find two guns.
Right.
She doesn't even get rid of those guns. No, she just puts them in different locations.
Make sure she gets all the knives.
Which I figured, so she knows her guns out now, so she'll use one, but no.
Yeah.
At one point, she's like, with her eyes closed, going through like the living room, so she knows like the layout of it in the dark, and that never comes back.
Yeah. She turns on a cell phone blocker.
Yeah.
But it's really like, it's like not that much stuff. She's not really doing that much.
And she's calling the prostitute from the earlier movie, and she's like getting help from that prostitute. The French prostitute, right?
No,
is that Juliette Lewis?
No, it's Juliette Lewis.
Oh, I thought that was the French prostitute.
No, she's calling because Juliette Lewis, the whole thing is like,
oh, I didn't even recognize her voice in that scene. I thought,
you thought she was just calling that prostitute?
I honestly, at this stage of the film, I thought so. I thought she was getting help from her. Like, she made an alliance with his other woman, and that was also part of the thing.
It says a lot about how nutty the third act of this movie is that Jack couldn't think that.
I know.
And still to think it at this point.
I know. I'm sorry.
So then she's just in there for like, at this point, she's been in the house for almost 24 hours.
Yeah, she's just chilling.
Just hanging out. He comes home and she kind of Batmans him a little bit where she's
for
like talking
no
to him.
At
but
all,
like,
again.
Yeah, for not for any, like when Batman does this, it's to intentionally creep out criminals. When she does it, it's just to be like, I don't know, letting him get prepared.
Yeah.
I don't, like, it doesn't help her.
Yeah,
at
what
all.
What if he had a third gun hidden somewhere?
I mean, if her goal, and what the movie has said to us is her goal is premeditated murder to kill him and make it look like he attacked her.
Right.
We should also mention
she plants
these letters that she
said, like,
fake
oh,
letters,
oh,
like,
yo,
we're coming to talk
yeah,
about
yeah.
the custody
you were
hearing.
Right, yeah, blah, blah.
I'm sorry, I'm tired of running. I'm coming here tonight to talk to you in good faith. And when he's searching for his gun in the night, he doesn't notice that there's letters in there. He's just freaking out looking for his gun, so he puts his fingerprints all over the letters, which is actually the only really clever part of this plan.
Yeah, but then she tells him about it. He could have just gone running and torn
those
letters
well,
away.
I want to get into that, yeah, because she finally like comes
she
out.
She tells him everything. She's like, oh, I hate your guns. It's
she's
like,
a Bond villain.
Yeah.
Like, Billy Campbell should... Well,
she
right,
should
so
have
she,
just said surprise. And here's another thing. Like, if she wanted to make it look like self-defense...
She's got no marks
on her. She should have goaded him into hitting her at least one time.
Right.
And then practiced getting, like, in the sparring matches, practiced learning how to take a hit, how to take a fall, so that she could get a bruise,
right.
So no, that the
like,
self-defense story would even hold more water.
Yeah, I was thinking that, because she's got nothing on her, and he looks like a freaking
wreck.
He declines to fight her. He says,
yeah.
I'm not going to fight you.
Right.
And she's like, oh, you don't want to fight me, because you'd only hit me when I was defenseless. So she starts, like, you know, like... Yeah. Like punching him, and he's still
and
not going
like
for
it's,
it.
It's okay for an abused to become an abuser.
Well, I'm now like
to
at this point
in
the
well, at that point though, he doesn't even.
I mean,
know
I don't care about this list. Guy because he's a
I mean,
jerk.
Oh,
so I don't care what happens to him.
Right.
But still, it sends kind of this wrong message that violence is begetting violence.
It's a very creepy message at this point in the movie.
Right.
You know, and you know, like, and then she says to him, "Hey, self-defense isn't murder." As she's like. I'm like, I don't think what you just did. Nothing you've done has been self-defense. You have you are 24-hour premeditating his murder.
Not to mention she cut the phone lines.
Oh, yeah, and like, the phone lines are cut like...
So he tried to beat you up, and you defended yourself, but he also cut his own phone lines?
And then she kind of...
Did she, like, rigged the lights and stuff? Yeah.
When, like, Bond villain style, she plays out her whole plan
mm-hmm.
and explains, like, oh, your fingerprints are on this and letter. And if I'm Billy Campbell... Like, obviously, I'm glad I'm not Billy Campbell because he's a horrible abuser, but his character should have been like, I am out of here. I am getting out of this house.
Yeah.
Like, and it doesn't make sense in the world of this movie that his character isn't like, whoa.
Yeah.
Like, you know what? Like, things are, this is not good.
Because he's obsessive. He's got to try to kill her.
So they get into a fight, and sure enough, at some point... Well, actually, she gets the better of him. She doesn't. She decides she has him where she could kill him.
And she decides not to, which I thought.
Well, she didn't. She's like, she couldn't do it, and then she's like trying to get the confidence to do it again.
But I thought maybe this was the point. I thought this was the point where she was going to do the right thing and then give the. But see the letters. We were going to. No, she's lying. That bitch is lying. And then he goes off to prison, and she gets her child, and that's the end of the movie. That's what I thought was going to happen.
No, and in fact, I kind of thought that for a second, but no, he comes up while she's talking on the phone with Juliette Lewis.
Or maybe he pulls a gun, and then the cop kills him. I don't know.
Well, no, none of that happens because, he attacks her, he knocks her down. She hears the Obi-Wan ghost in her head saying, use the Force, J-Lo.
Yeah.
And she knocks him down. She straight up murders him. She straight up murders him by throwing him over a ledge onto this coffee table.
In typical late 90s thriller style, he has to fall and get impaled on something.
There was a lot of impaling in the 90s. Yeah that
like,
was big.
Like the fall from a high place and then getting stabbed. But he didn't get stabbed this time, but he clearly broke
much like Boy Next Door.
I still wasn't convinced he was dead at that point.
I actually was a little skeptical. But then they kind of did show him actually like with like the metal rod.
And his eyes were open and not moving. Yeah, that's...
They were the first time, though, too, when she, like, was going to... Yeah, his eyes were open,
Maybe they used the same insert shot.
Well, and much like Boy Next Door, I'm thinking, like, how are they going to wrap up this plot where someone has... Where an abusive, horrible villain was premeditated, murdered by our heroine. And much like Boy Next Door, they just kind of punt and go... we're not going to deal with that.
You're one of the lucky ones.
A cop shows up. He hasn't even gone in. Yeah, he's basically clearing J-Lo. He's like, you're one of the lucky ones.
But does, and I'm
like, he doesn't even know the situation. He doesn't know she was a domestic abuse.
Can I ask this question? Think about this. What happens when that cop goes in there and is like, why is there a cell phone jammer in here?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Why are there knives in the refrigerator?
Why are the knives in the refrigerator? Like... Like, how would any of these questions...
A double bag of
because from this, from this officer's standpoint, from his standpoint, not knowing coming in, we've got a dead man covered in bruises in his own house that has clearly been broken into. His stuff has been ransacked, and the woman who kidnapped his daughter is sitting outside waiting for the police to show up.
And by the way,
his friends and relatives
also know that she had kidnapped his daughter. Like, this, like clearly the Billy Campbell character is a disgusting, horrible person, but, like, this is probably not going to be, much like Boy Next Door, as clean as this movie wants you to believe, that everyone's just like, write it off, you know?
Yeah.
Nothing to see here, move on, folks.
Not even go inside.
Yeah. We then get a reunion with J-Lo and her daughter at the airport.
Which is where I thought Fred Ward would come in
jewelry.
And be like...
I thought so, too. In fact, that would have been the perfect circumstance.
For all of our characters to come back.
Or Joe or something. Yeah,
or
somebody.
Joe. Because technically, they talk about going to live with Joe, but we never actually see him again. Yeah.
Right.
They could have even cheated and just had this all happen. And there's presumably
about
a conversation.
Epilogue, black screen, epilogue, and they're like at home together and they're married.
Maybe, like, or something.
And then she hears a car start, and she gets all scared, and then they all have a laugh. And it fades to black.
I feel like there's a conversation just off screen where J-Lo, like, gets to her daughter's like, Gracie, hey, great news, I murdered your dad. I totally set up an elaborate plan to kill your dad, and it worked. He's impaled. That piece of metal went straight through his chest.
Yeah, you should have seen
it. The bad news, we're still on the run.
Yeah, we may still have some legal problems. I didn't get to do any Loved It. We're gonna do some Loved It segments coming up. I didn't get to do any Loved It because this is a weird movie in that I feel like I looked at a few and most of the people who loved it said things where I was like, I guess that's not wrong. Like, people really liked J-Lo's performance.
Like
J-Lo's good.
Some people might appreciate... Well, the message of standing up to an abuser is a message that a lot of people are going to appreciate.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
The concept is good.
The idea of standing up to an abuser is great.
The one thing I saw, which wasn't a review, but it was someone on IMDb in, like, the comment section, the forums did something. They put something like, "Oh, why did they have to make Billy Campbell look so cool?" It's like you sympathize with him because he's got the money and the women and the cars and the big house. I'm like,
"Oh boy,
who the hell are you?"
What?
You think that excuses him from?
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. He was actually.
I feel like that guy should have followed up with. Pretty... Also, this movie, Billy Campbell's character may have been based on me. Like that's concerning. But so I didn't do it. We are going to have those soon, but we will. I think we all know the answer to it, so we're going to do a so wrong is right question.
Should we save the answer to the next episode? Should we tease the audience?
I think it'll just be fun. This was not written for Jennifer Lopez. It was written for another actress.
Yes.
And I'm going to give a couple of options, and again, you guys know the answer, but you can play along at home. The answer would be Angelina Jolie. Mm-hmm. Ashley Judd, Meg Ryan, or Sandra Bullock. Obviously, I will give you a chance to think about it.
Yeah.
Process in your own head. The answer, you guys, I'm sure you guys know
we
it.
Do. I
Sandra,
do know the answer.
Sandra Bullock.
Sandra Bullock. Which is weird because this feels like an Ashley Judd movie to me. Of that era. Early 2000s. Those, and I feel like this would have been... If Sandra Bullock had been in this would have felt a lot like The Net.
Yeah.
One
thing I thought was funny too is the director of this also directed a Bond movie.
Oh, really?
Do you know what Bond movie it was?
I feel like it's got to be one of the Pierce Brosnans, right? Yes.
What was the director's name?
Michael Apted.
It's not Die Another Day.
No. It's The World Is Not Enough.
The World Is Not
Enough. That's his trend. That's his thing.
It's all enough.
That's what he's into.
The World Is Not Enough.
Wow. Yeah. So let's do a So Bad It's Good. Jack, so is it So Bad It's Good for you?
It's like I said, it's not good at all. I'm gonna say no, though there were moments where I was kinda laughing. Obviously not at the idea of abuse, but the execution of the film. There are moments where I was laughing at the execution of the film, but it wasn't enough.
I'm with you. There's stuff that's crazy and funny and like, but the concept of the movie and the movie's overriding message of if you're a victim of abuse, no help is available for you. There's nothing you can do.
Except murder.
And the movie keeps pounding that message into your head and it just kept taking me out of even some of my enjoyment of this bad movie because it's like, oh my God, like what a horrible, horrible message to be giving to anybody who would be seeing this, or especially if someone's going to see it hoping for empowerment or strength.
Right.
And they're basically being told, no, there's nothing you can do. I'm like, so
but murder.
So for me, it was a terrible movie and I probably would have enjoyed it more if that message wasn't so frustrating and depressing for me that was what was being put out there. So ultimately, I'm going to say no, but
yeah,
it's a crazy movie.
It gets crazy, but I wouldn't watch it again or anything.
Yeah. Yeah. It is, though. Like, I think The Boy Next Door is the funnier version of this. Like, this was not that much fun to watch, but like Boy Next Door, way more fun to watch because you get the same level of crazy without kind of being as offensive in a way. It's just nutty, minus the horrible social commentary.
Yeah.
All kinds of good stuff coming up. I don't know what's going to be next. God, I always say I won't do this, but I feel like we should tell people because I would love people to see it and be able to listen along with this. We know we're gonna do it. All right, we're gonna do London Has Fallen. The next movie in the Has Fallen cinematic universe.
Yes,
we're so excited, and it will be coming up. It may be our next episode. It might be one more episode out. We have to see how our calendar works.
We can do movies that are coming up. We won't guarantee.
But I promise you, and this is not a movie we're teasing and then not gonna do. We are absolutely doing this. I've read enough about London Has Fallen that it is made for what we're doing here.
Uh-huh.
As always, you can find us on Twitter at @WindUpFilms and our hilarious Facebook page. Mm-hmm. I particularly enjoyed and had a couple of nice people tell me they really liked the Hercules Facebook update.
They could take or leave.
The Facebook update,
they really want to read the Cliffs notes. It's okay.
And you can connect with us there. And we will see you back here next time. All right, bye. Mm-hmm. Bye.